And this is Yusuf.
And this is In-Flight Entertainment.
Yes. And we are in the last week of Pride Month. Well, recognized month of Pride, but it's all year round every month. And that's how we do. So we're going to end off this month's review of LGBTQ stories with the 2018 movie Love, Simon.
Yes. So this follows Simon Spear keeps a huge secret from his family, his friends, and all of his classmates that he's gay. When that secret is threatened, Simon must face everyone and come to terms with his identity. And it is a 2018 movie, but based on the success of this movie, it also became a series on, I think it's Hulu. And the series actually follows a new kid that comes to the same school that is also gay. So
right. It's like Love, Victor, right?
It's Love, Victor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like a sequel to Love, Simon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the movie is based upon the novel Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda.
Nice. And this film stars Nick Robinson as the title character Simon, Catherine Lanfer as the friend Leah, Alexandra Shipp. For those who don't know her, she was the new Storm in the newer X-Men movies. She's Abby. And then kind of the veteran actors in this movie are Jennifer Gardner and Josh Duhamel. Yeah. One of the two. As Simon's parents, Emily and Jack.
Yes. Which I love that, like, Jennifer Gardner was cast perfectly. She feels like a mom. Mm. she has that mom energy.
Yeah, definitely.
And Josh played the perfect, like, dad who used to be a quarterback and is trying to be ultra cool with his teenage kids and, like, banter with them, but he's really a sweetheart.
Right.
Someone just needs to help break him through that.
Right. Yeah, and I really liked about his character, how he approached, or how Josh approached his character, you know, you could see like there's remnants of kind of like the bro mentality that he had, that he's, like you're saying, that's fully, he's fully trying to shake off that persona, because it seems like within his interactions and, you know, his wording of things, you can tell by how he communicate, like, oh, you was a straight up jock bro, like, like way back. And, you know, he's trying to, you know, reform. He's trying to like shed from that, you know, that persona and be a straight up, you know, cool dad to his kids, trying to be, you know, forward thinking and supportive and, you know, not fall into the, you know, the bro thing.
The movie introduces us to Simon, and he's starting to tell his like story of, he has the perfect group of friends and they've been together since childhood and they have their routine. And then we get introduced to everything that's going on in school and the different folks there. You have the one out kid that's comfortable with his sexuality and being a little bit more effeminate. You have the bullies that tease the one gay kid. And then you have the other kids that are just like normal high school students. Mm-hmm. And they have this website where people can post secrets. Mm-hmm. And someone named Blue posts a secret that he's gay and life is like a Ferris wheel and that you have ups and downs, and but it still seems to go around and around. And Simon sees that post and decides to email Blue to admit his secret as well. And that's where they start a secret communication, emailing back and forth. But one day Simon makes a mistake and leaves his Gmail account open up in the library. And Logan Miller, who plays Martin, sees the email, and he's like the theater kid in school that really has a crush on one of the girls, but she won't give him the time of day. He sees the email open and realizes Simon is gay and blackmails Simon to get what he wants.
Right. Yeah. So he's trying to get with Abby. And Martin, of course, like when you see his character, you know, he's very obnoxious, very headstrong, super awkward. Don't really know how to communicate with another human being on just a regular wavelength. Like he's either at 12 when everyone else is at 2, you know, vice versa. And so Simon is trying to coach him, so to speak, and into being the tolerable person that Abby would look at. But then we see in itself, that's a challenge, you know, given Martin's personality.
Right. And at the same time, we're watching Simon go through his days, trying to discover who the other gay guy in school is based on clues that are revealed in the email communications.
Yeah, so it's like you have the mystery side story of Simon trying to, you know, figure out, you know, like is it the guy, you know, that's part of the play, you know, or is it, you know, that person in the cafeteria? Is that, yeah, you know, it's that whole, you know, mystery of him trying to narrow down the scope of, okay, the person either in school, but then there's another character I was introduced that, okay, maybe the person is not in the school. Maybe it's a person that's like in the neighborhood, work at, you know, it was a diner, but it was very Waffle House-y. Yeah, because they were down south, if I'm not mistaken, like Georgia somewhere, only because the dad always wore like Georgia shirts.
I didn't notice that.
So there's
three or four guys that he thinks that it might be. It's like the other jock that's in their circle. It's the waiter from the Waffle House. I think he thinks it might be the guy that plays the piano for the musical. Was there someone else that he thought it was?
He was in the class with them though. That at the party, like he suspect, but it wasn't. Yeah,
that's the jock that I'm talking
about. Oh, that's the jock. Okay, yeah, say this. Okay.
Yeah. So ultimately, Martin declares his love for Abby and Abby rejects him. And so Martin decides that because Simon wasn't successful, that he was going to reveal Simon's secret to everyone. And that's what he does.
Right. This one, everything kind of spirals out of control because Abby finds out, you know, what Simon was doing, kind of manipulating the friendships and things like that, just so Simon can maintain the secret, you know, of his sexuality, not getting out to, you know, the public. The friend that he came up with since they were little, which is Leah. Come to find out that Leah, you know, have always had this crush on Simon, but, you know, Simon never really thought of it that way. And so So he just kind of parcels her off to the other friend, guy friend. So it's kind of like all the emotions kind of came to a conclusion, or no, a collision, if you will, as all like second acts going to the third act goes, you know. And then on top of that, Simon wants to connect with Blue, but Blue just, I guess, kind of excommunicates, like, I can't do that, you know, and finds out.
Blue wasn't ready to come out. He wasn't there in his confidence in his life. So he canceled his email and they stopped communicating with each other. But Simon decides after some soul searching that he's going to officially reveal his secret on the website, and says, Blue, you know, meet me at the Ferris wheel if this is something that I believe is real.
Right. Yeah. And then it's come to, you know, the scenes of, you know, the family, you know, ultimately getting the truth about Simon and at the end of the day, and, you know, embracing, you know, his truth and being supportive of something that Simon was afraid of. You know, that's not the only reason, but that was one of the main reasons. Like, you know, if he said, "By hey, I'm gay," like, is he going to be the object of ridicule of everyone around him that he loved? And, you know, it come to find out it's the complete opposite. You know, people that loves him regardless. And, you know, he found that out, you know.
Yeah. Everyone accepted him for who he is, not for who he likes.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. And so, there was an incident in the cafeteria where, you know, the jocks made fun of, you know, that the already out, you know, homosexual black student. And, you know, Simon just got fed up and, you know, kind of just stood his ground. And then this, you know, this leads to like a talk between them two, and Simon ultimately like apologizing for, you know, not standing up with him, you know, the homosexual student, when in fact he was one himself, but, you know, didn't want to, you know, let anyone know where the black homosexual student is, like, you know, and out in the front line, just like, hey, this is me, and all of the ridicule and all of the scrutiny, like, this is who I am, you know. And Simon ultimately like just had to align with that, and like, yeah, this is not an easy thing. And seeing what he was going through, he ultimately, you know, he apologized, and then now you have an ally, so to speak, with all his other straight friends. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the movie reminded me of across of the Drew Barry movie, Never Been Kissed. Mm-hmm. And like 80s teen movies. And it has, you know, a positive message that you can be yourself and those that love you will continue to love you.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, no, with the Ferris wheel scene.
The Ferris wheel scene is straight out of Never Been Kissed. That is the exact same scene from Never Been Kissed.
Yeah,
she writes the article.
Yep.
It's a, like, oh, no, it, no. The Ferris wheel scene in Never Been Kissed is she's on the Ferris wheel and no one will sit with her. And so her teacher goes and sits with her.
Uh-huh.
At the end of that movie, she writes an article and says, "I've never been kissed. Meet me on the baseball field. And if it's real, I know you'll be there." And he goes and kisses her. Whereas Simon writes on the website, you know, "I know this is real. Please come and meet me." So, yeah, I mean, Ferris wheel, baseball field.
Yeah, you know, places of public cheering and encouragement. That will end in cheers at the end.
And there's always like that point where the time has run up and you're like, oh, the other person's not going to show up, and then ultimately the person does show up.
Yeah, it's like, yay. I mean, it was, Yeah, like there, because it definitely had that very light, airy John Hughes-esque suburbia, you know, high school tribalism, you know, element, of course, of high school. So yeah, I mean, it kind of with that whole high school thing, it sprinkled a little bit of Pretty in Pink, just a little bit. With some of the clicks a little bit. I was like, yeah, I can see, like, that's like where James Spader would be over here with those people.
Right. And then, like, when in Pretty in Pink, when Ducky rejects her because she's not in love with him, that you have that same type of energy at the end of Love, Simon.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, and Leah could, we could say Leah could be the Ducky, right? That was in love with Simon, and yeah, like I say, all the elements are there. But in this case, you know, it was a new spin on, like, in kind of a familiar teen romance that highlight, a boy's love for, you know, another boy, and you know, that's what.
Yeah. This was the first major Hollywood studio feature that had a gay teenage protagonist. And like the Rotten Tomatoes score on this, I think, is like 97. It's very high up there. People loved this movie.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in this really tight, like the pace of this, I mean, it just get to those twists and those moments and those conversations. And I mean, it's not a slow movie. It's very well paced. I mean, from the start to finish, it just kind of, it's not a lot of fat. That's the word. It's not a lot of fat in the movie. It's not like scenes that's like, okay, y'all really didn't have to have this scene, or this could be trimmed. Like, it kind of like hit all the points that it need to hit far as plot wise, or to kind of get Simon moving towards his ultimate, you know, arc, you know, and the friends were, you know, were really great too. I don't think there were two dimensional kind of, you know, sidekick cutouts. All of them had kind of distinct, you know, personalities and wants and all of that, but it all gravitated back towards the friendship with Simon, which, yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the music in this movie is fantastic. I need to go and buy the soundtrack, because every single one of those songs was on point.
Yeah, most definitely. Yep, that makes a good teen rom-com, right? Yeah, I had a good soundtrack too. Yeah.
And again, connecting it to that John Hughes type of energy.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, so what's our Stuck on Tarmac review?
So it's rating. Sit on the sofa and watch with the family. Put on your shoes. You'd rather be cleaning the house, or go outside and face the crazies.
Yeah, I'll definitely sit down. I mean, yeah. I mean, yeah, of course. Like, there's nothing in this movie that had me like, I mean, it was like, the acting was great. The kids, like the teenagers, were adorable. I mean, I was waiting for some cringy things with the parents, because sometimes, you know, parents are written to be like just super cliched and tropey. But I mean, they were really unique, honestly. Like the two parents, it was like they were kind of in a stage of growth with their kids also, to and defining themselves as good parents on top of, you know, to parallel the kids trying to find themselves as individuals. So yeah, I thought that was really good. Yeah, it was played really well, and yeah, I dig it. I give it a sit down.
For me, I did. I watched it for the first time this past week. It's not, I don't think it's on any of the streaming services. Sites, but it is on FX if you have regular cable. So I watched the edited version, so I'm not sure if I missed anything because of that.
Nah. I mean, it's PG-13. It wasn't super bad. It wasn't R-rated like Raunch Fest. I mean, it was pretty much everything you've seen on FX is still the same thing in the theatrical cut. Yeah.
I think this is definitely, if you haven't seen it, it is a film that you can watch the entire family and enjoy it.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, very is, you know, it's a lighter take on, you know, the subject matter. Cause me and Jenna have a few conversations where, you know, we pick certain movies and, you know, Jenna would say, you know, hey, can we find something a little lighter? Because something that falls on a specific genre that tells a specific story always fall on more of a, like, a victim field drama fest kind of thing, which I think we definitely need to switch the storytelling narrative of it, because we need a balance. Yes, we do need to have stories where it's highlighting the realness of the struggle within, you know, people and cultures and stuff like that. But then again, it's good to have more of like a lighter side of it, you know. And yeah, that goes for Black films also, you know. And this is a good one. This is a good lighter kind of, like Jim was saying, family can watch it, you know. It's
last week we did the movie that was a little bit less light, with the mother-daughter coming out. And this is the opposite, whereas last week the family rejected their child for coming out. And this week we have a family that embraced their child.
Yeah, you know, balance. Yeah, because we do need to see situations where there are loving and welcoming people in, you know, other people's lives that generally is like, you're still the person I love regardless, and you're still my people's kind of thing. Yeah. And that's good to see also, that we need that representation too. So there you have it, guys. Love, Simon. It's for rent, or you can watch on FX.
You can watch it on FX. I'm pretty sure you could probably pay for it on Amazon. But I was being frugal and found it for free on FX on demand. So that's where I watched it.
Yeah, right on. Ooh, guys, well, I hope you guys enjoy the rest of June. And we'll see you guys on the flip side of like July, which is, yeah. We'll see you on July 1st. With the throwback. Until then, we wish everyone. So everyone, we wish everyone safe physical distancing and
get your vaccines.
Yes.